Amen. Good to see everyone this morning. As you said, you know, what a day for rejoicing. Are you ready for the Word of God today?
Amen.
Amen. You know, last week Pastor John talked about the Word of God, and it was kind of funny. He had mentioned the movie, The Book of Eli, and I went home, and I'm down in my basement. I flicked on the TV, and guess what is on?
Book of Eli.
My daughter went home after hearing your message, and her boyfriend never saw the movie. And they watched it, and I would encourage you, and Pastor John said there are some customers.
You like it?
You like it, Nick? You want to come up here and give us a book report? No, good. We don't need that. But the movie itself, very prophetic about how important the Word of God is, and his mission was to get it somewhere so that it could be copied, it could be distributed for good and not for evil. Right, Roger? yeah, the good side. Amen. Well, let's pray and ask God to move today. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we thank you for our pastors. He brings forth your word here today. Lord, anoint him, bless him. And Lord, let that word have the same impact upon us, Lord, as it did even in that movie. Lord, we pray that we could see your face in this, that we thank you that, and we rejoice today in what you're doing, that you're doing every day. And we lose sight of that. But Lord, let your spirit move sovereignly in our midst here today. Touch him, move through him, and bring this word alive and bring us to action. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus was speaking to Peter, and he made a very powerful statement about us, about the body of Christ, the church. And he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. There's no doubt that God is building a strong, powerful, effective church. We may not always see it, but I'll tell you, if God said he is building his church, he is building his church. And that's why we're told in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and this line in particular, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. God wants us to walk in power. He wants his people to be a powerful, effective people. So we're told in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. God is committed to building a strong, powerful church, which means that his church needs to be filled with strong, powerful people. And guess who those people are? Amen. Us. Now we might be thinking sometimes, well, I don't feel so strong, but it's not our strength. Remember, we can glory in our weakness because then the power and the strength of God has even more chance to shine. We saw last week that if we're going to be a strong people who rise up and become a strong church, we have to have a strong foundation. It's essential. Matthew 7, 24, 25, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Jesus said there, if we listen to his word, and we put it into practice, then us right here, will be like that wise man who will stand firm. We will stand strong against whatever comes against us. Why? Because, not because of us, but because the word of God is powerful. The word of God is effective. This word that we have, it's more than a book. It's not just paper. It's not just, you know, somebody typing letters on pages, put it down and say, oh, here's a nice book. That's not what the Word of God is. It's more than a book. It's like anything else in all creation that's here for us to see. This stands above everything else on this earth. That Word, the Word of God, is somehow intricately, intimately linked to Jesus in such a way that the Word and Jesus are actually one, according to the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I don't pretend to have all understanding of how it's Jesus is the Word and the Word is Jesus, but I know enough to believe what the Word says, to believe what the Bible says. And when it's talking about the Word, there in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we're talking about Jesus. The Bible makes it very clear all throughout the New Testament and even hints about it in the Old Testament. John 1:3 says, through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. So if everything was made by Jesus, then He is not only all-powerful, but He also is in total control of everything, and He's the one who holds everything together. It's right in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. It says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful Word. Sustaining all things. We were talking about this Wednesday night at home meeting. You know, like, how many times in our life have we, you know, we felt like there's some chaos around us or something going on, and we just say, man, I'm just trying to hold it all together. I'm just trying to keep it together. I got to get this done. I got to make this happen. I got to get here. I got to do that. I'm just trying to keep it together. Maybe in the middle of a loss or some disaster in our home or our family, and we feel like our mind just isn't there, and we say, I'm just trying to keep it together. By turning to Jesus and trusting in His Word, we are putting our trust then in the One who is literally, literally keeping all things together. And then He, through that Word, will help us to keep together. We also saw that Jesus has all authority. We know that. He's been given all authority. All in heaven, authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, He said. But then He gave us the authority. He passed it on to us. He said, you can use My name. You can walk in My authority. You can use My Word. John 14:14. You may ask Me for anything in My name and I will do it. All this power, and that is power, to have that kind of authority. That's more power than the President of the United States has. It's more power than any world body has. It's more power than anything. And He's given us the privilege to use His Word, to use His name, but we have to use it properly. We have to work on His behalf, on His interests. We have to do that by seeking first His kingdom. That's always got to be the overriding goal in our life, is to seek first the kingdom of God. We also saw that God wants to make sure that we remember and we understand and we learn His Word. So He sent a guide or a counselor to help us understand, to help us know it and to walk it out. John 14:25-26 says, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. My words. John 16:13-14, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me. This is Jesus talking, the Word. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive. It is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Jesus is telling us that even though he, the living Word, is going away, he says, I must return to the Father, he'll bring his Word back to life in us. He will allow the Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit, to live and work in us. So far what we've seen is that in the beginning was the Word. And at just the right time, God sent his Son, and the Word became flesh. And then after Jesus finished his work here on this earth, he returned to heaven, to the Father. And so that living Word that came in the flesh was gone. But now the Holy Spirit has come to write those very words in our hearts. And so now the Word has become flesh again in us. When we read, when we speak, when we put into practice the Word of God as we are led by the Holy Spirit, we bring life again to the Word. We bring it to life again. I mean, God is the one who puts the life in it, makes it living and active, but we are the vessel then to carry that life. We bring it to life again so that people can see the living Word again. Just as Jesus did when he was the living Word. And the more we allow God's Word to become a part of our life, the more we will experience this amazing power that the Word will have in us and the major blessing that comes with it. And the more we walk in the Word, the more blessing there will be. The more we follow God's ways. I mentioned it last week, I believe, about, if you remember, there was a story of the two mountains, and on the one mountain they talked about all the curses for those who follow the Word of the Lord and all the blessing for those, all the curses for those who don't follow and the blessing for those that do follow. And so as we follow the Word and as we walk in the Word, we put it into practice, as Jesus said, we're going to be blessed. Big time. So this is where we see how the Word, when it's alive in our lives, is going to bring us to a place of victory in our struggles. And this is what I want to talk about today. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We all know that our life is a battle. And we're up against a lot more than we can see. We're dealing with our own flesh, which is bad enough. We're dealing with the world system, and we're dealing, it says right here, against things in the spiritual realm. Demonic forces that are also coming against us. So we got our work cut out for us. But we have to know, we have to understand that we are not defenseless. Even though all these things are coming against us, God's Word tells us that we are destined to be more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, not just victorious. We're not just going to win. We're going to be more than conquerors. Because we have at our disposal, we have in us the most powerful weapon in the world, the Word of God. The devil can't stand up to it. The world can't stand up to it. Even our flesh does not have power over the world of God, Word of God. In fact, the Word of God has power over our flesh if we allow it to work in us. And the Word of God also has another name. It's called the Sword of the Spirit. And this Word, this weapon, has power in the natural, but it also has power in the supernatural. That's pretty amazing. Something that can transcend the natural realm that we can see, this same Word has the ability to cut right through the natural, the area that we live in, this natural world, and go right into the spiritual world and be just as strong, just as powerful. And sometimes we don't even know what's happening when we speak it out because we can't always see. Often we can't see into that spiritual realm, but we know by faith that things are happening when we speak it out. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And the one weapon that stands out above all the other weapons is called, according to Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17, the most powerful weapon in the entire world. You take one of the destroyers, these giant carriers we got. You ever see those? You know those huge guns that shoot off into the distance. Now hundreds of miles, they can shoot missiles, and they can go in and land with precision accuracy, and destroy their target. But can they go into the spiritual realm? They can't touch it. They can't touch it. But the Word of God can. It has that kind of power. At least it does for us if we know how to use it and we know where to get it. And we know it starts right here. You know, we've got it. We can look into it. We can read it. But there's something in the military that they have a place where they store weapons. It's called the armory or the arsenal. It's funny, sometimes when you go to these little towns all around the country, sometimes in the middle of town there's these really cool buildings. They look like a giant bank. And then you look up on top and there's old inscription from way back and it was an armory. It was where they stored the weapons. During the war, they would build all these armories just in case. But we have a place like that. Us Christians have a place like that where this most powerful weapon is stored. It's our armory. It's our arsenal. And it's called our heart. This is where the Holy Spirit has written the Word. He's taken the Word and He's implanted it and stored it up in our heart. And as we read, as we study, as we hear, this is where we store the Word of God. We should be, in our heart. And that's why we need to meditate on the Word of God. That's why we need to study it and hear it and be filled with it. Because we want our armory full. If I'm going to be fighting a battle, I don't want to walk into my armory and see that, oh my gosh, it's already all been used up. There's a couple shells laying on the ground. I want to look at the shelves and see stacked high piles, boxes of ammunition. That's what we got in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us do that job. And He can help us pull that out of there whenever we need it. There's a scripture in Mark 13:11. It says that whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. And this could apply to any situation that we're in. It says, just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. See, when we come into those times in our life where we're walking in the will of God, we're seeking first His kingdom and allowing the Holy Spirit to motivate us, to live in us and work through us, we can be out and about doing the work of God. We can be anywhere at any time. And we can come into a situation and find ourselves and think like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do here? This is where we put our faith and our trust in God. And the Holy Spirit will work, and He'll open up the door, go inside the armory, and pull out the word, the weapon, the ammunition to take out the enemy, the sword of the Spirit. It's called the sword of the Spirit. When the dark forces of evil come against us, those times where we may be prone to fail, and we all have them, certain areas of our life where we may be tempted or prone to fail, the Holy Spirit goes in there, grabs that sword, brings it out, and fights with us, fights for us. And we demolish those things that are coming against us, because they're no match for the sword of the Spirit. They're no match for the power of God, for the power of His Word. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I already read that part, but now it's going on. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You know that sometimes our thoughts are our own worst enemies? Aren't they? We put ourselves down. We knock ourselves down. We walk in depression and discouragement, anger and fear and doubt and hopelessness. And you know, we start telling ourselves these things. We allow them to come in. But it says here that the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, will demolish these arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, against the Word of God, the power of God. And it will take captive those thoughts, our thoughts. And sometimes it might even be the thoughts of the devil that he's trying to throw into our mind, or the thoughts that come from the world, the advertising, the stuff out of movies or the newspaper or the radio or wherever you hear it, whatever, wherever those thoughts are coming from, it doesn't matter. Demonic, worldly, or our own thoughts, when they set themselves up against the Word of God, and that's what they do, sometimes they're more powerful in our mind. We think they're more powerful, and we allow them to overwhelm us. And yet right here it tells us that we have weapons that can fight those and demolish those arguments and those pretensions. That's all they are, is pretend things, pretensions. They're pretending to be powerful. They're not more powerful than God's Word. God's Word can defeat our most destructive thoughts. When you're feeling those kind of thoughts, when you're feeling so depressed and down, and it's over, it's the end, I can't handle this, oh, I'm losing this, what's happening, where's my husband, where's my wife, where's my kids, what's going on, what's God doing to our country, what's happening, oh, I don't understand it, it's all, everything's falling apart, I can't hold it together. We get into the Word. And the sword of the Spirit is pulled out by the Holy Spirit. He takes that sword and He starts cutting through those arguments, those pretensions, those vain imaginations, and destroys them. He demolishes them. You'll be amazed what happens to you if you allow yourself to flow in the power of God. The real key is that we need to be using this sword. We got to use it. And we have to use the sword of the Spirit, not a sword of our own flesh. We're not going to use a weapon of the flesh to fight the flesh. And this flesh cannot fight the world. This flesh cannot fight the spiritual world. We might make a little bit of headway here and there, but no real power. That's why we need to know the Word. That's why we have to have it stored up in our heart, in our arsenal, in our armory, and get familiar with it. Remember when David tried to use King Saul's sword and his armor? He couldn't wear it. It was way too heavy for him. He put it on and he was, oh, I can't even walk in this, you know? He was this little kid and Saul was big. And Saul thought, well, I'll give you my armor. You know, my armor is strong. It's worked for me in battle and you can use it and now you'll be strong. No, it doesn't work that way. And there's a couple lessons there. One is, it's not the weapon, the armor of the world. It's not the sword of this world. And it's also not somebody else's. Somebody else's strength is not our strength. We can't run to somebody else every time we have a problem. We have to learn how to fight ourselves. Because God has given each one of us our own ability, our own connection to this power. If we're a Christian, we've got the Holy Spirit. And if we got the Holy Spirit, we got that sword stored up in us. So what David did is, remember, he just used a little sling and he took out Goliath. He killed him against all the odds because that was the sword, that was the power in his heart. And remember, he even spoke out against Goliath. He came against Goliath in the power of the living God. Remember when Jesus was in the desert? He was weak at that time, 40 days without food. That's a long time. I don't care, you know, who you are. He was still living in the flesh at that time. That's a long time to be out there. You know he had to be at a very weak time. And the devil came to him, thought, okay, this is it. This is my chance. I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. I'm going to win this. What did Jesus do? He pulled out the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. He answered every accusation, every deceit, every trick, every thought, every vain imagination, every argument, every pretension of the devils with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And the devil had to leave. He couldn't pull one over on him. He couldn't beat him. And that's where we need to be, filled with God's Word, filled with God's Spirit. In 1 John 2:14, it says, I like this verse, it says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. The Word of God lives in you, and you've overcome the evil one. If we want to overcome the evil one, the Word of God needs to be alive in us. That needs to be our sword so we can go to that armory, get it out, and fight. When Satan says to you that you're weak, and he will, the thought will come in and you'll be trying to struggle, you know, against something. You'll be trying to fight against something and you'll think, I can't do this. And that's when Ephesians 6:10 says, I am strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. That's a weapon. That's ammunition against that evil thought, that lie, that attack. And the Holy Spirit will remind us of that. If we've put that in our heart and we've stored it up in our heart, the Holy Spirit will be right there to remind us of that. Or in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So, you see, and those are just two. There's hundreds of scriptures that are there for us. All kinds of ammo that we can store up in our heart that will be there to fight for us when we are faced with the attacks of the enemy, when we are faced with our weaknesses, when we are faced with the temptations of the world, whatever it is, and we think, I'm weak. I don't know if I can do this. That's when we have to go to our armory. Just like if you are protecting your home, if you are protecting your nation, and you heard somebody was coming over on a boat, and they had a bunch of soldiers on there, you just send out one of your boats, you blow them out of the water. Somebody tries to come destroy your town. Imagine if you were in one of those forts back in the old days. Remember they showed the forts and all the wood with the spikes at the top, and you know, and somebody comes in trying to go after you. It doesn't matter. You're trying to defend your city, your home, your family, yourself. Whatever enemy it is that is coming against you, God says that you are not weak. You are not unable to defend. You are not ineffective. The Word of God is strong in you. The Word of God is powerful in you. The Word of God in you. The Word of God is effective in you. When we think that we can't do something, then we remember what the Word says. Another sword that the Holy Spirit will take out again. Matthew 19:26, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. If we feel burnt out and tired and we think, man, I'm just worn out. I can't do this anymore. I'm so tired. I'm getting too old, or I've been doing this too long, or I've been working so hard today, or this or that. Eddie, this is one I know you like. Isaiah 41:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's encouraging. And it's also effective as a weapon against our weakness, against our tiredness, against, you know, those things that would drag us down when it's stored up in us and we think about it and we let it wash over us. We're washed over by the Word. Our mind is cleansed of those imaginations, those arguments, those pretensions. It washes them right away. The power of God comes on us and we realize, I can do this. Wherever you have a need, wherever you're weak, you need to find the Word, the Scripture that will overcome. It's like, whatever, think about, you know, like if you had your home and you had a leak coming in your roof, you find where the leak is. If you got a big hole in one of your walls and there's rain or cold air coming in, you plug it up. You find the area that's lacking. We all have areas that we struggle with. And so what we need to do is find the Word. find the weapon to fight that with. Because it's in there. It's in the Word of God. There's probably 50, maybe even 100 scriptures that could go into your armory, your heart, that the Holy Spirit will be able to use at just the right time. You just got to find them. You got to get them in there. Let it become part of you. And then God's going to give you the victory. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, through knowing the Word, who called us by His own glory and godliness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate. You want to participate in the divine nature. And He's saying, you can join me and be... Remember, He created us in His image, right? He said, come on up. Live up on this higher level. Come on up here with me and live on this higher level. We're not going to be God. I'm not saying that. But He wants us to rise above living just in the flesh and know that there is a spiritual realm that we are a part of, that we have, you know, power in, that we have authority in because of the Word. Through these, He's given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. In the Old Testament, they went into the promised land. Now we enter the land of promises. There's all kinds of promises, and I'm not talking about the name it and claim it kind of thing. I'm just talking about the Word of God that clearly gives us a lot of truth and a lot of power for us to use. God's a man of His Word. He doesn't lie. We can take Him at His Word. We can take His Word and it can become life to us. Isaiah 55:10 said, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Why do you think God sent His Word? Just to have a nice book that we can lay on His shelf? No, He sent this Word for His people, so that we can have a source of knowledge and power, something that strengthens us, fills us with joy and love, teaches us how to live. And we get that stuff. We bury it inside of our heart. And every time we come up against something, the Holy Spirit, God tells us, will be right there to remind us. Right here. And He brings out that sword. And we fight against that thing that's trying to harm us. God's Word is powerful. And God wants that powerful Word alive in us, working in us. God wants us to take authority over evil and overcome evil with good. That's our job. There's evil all over the world. We live in an evil world. And God wants us to overcome that evil with good. And we got the power. It's in the Word. We can speak life to people. We can speak freedom to people. We can speak love to people. We can speak forgiveness to people. We can speak victory to people. God wants us now to be His voice. He wants us to know that we can share His victory with all the world. We can share that victory that comes through His Word. We can speak it out. He wants us to use the mightiest, most powerful tool that He could ever give us. He wants us to become familiar with it so we can use it. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want to read a scripture from Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 and 15. It says, I saw heaven standing open, And there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has his name, he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. Who are we talking about here? Jesus, right? He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Jesus, the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. Strike down evil. So here we have Jesus, the Word of God, riding at the head of all these armies, all the armies of heaven, millions upon millions upon millions, washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And out of his mouth comes that sword. The same sword that comes out of our mouth, it's the same sword. It's the Word of God. It's the Word, the living Word, the weapon of God, the power of God, the might of God when it comes out and it's spoken as by the power of the Spirit. It's truth. It's light. It's life. It's living. It's active. It judges the thoughts and the intents of our heart. It's powerful. It's effective. It's amazing. It's God's Word. We're riding with Him there. One of these days, we'll be riding in that army. Right now, we're still here, right? We're still on this earth. We're still in the thick of the battle. I know that. God knows that. We're still in the battle. And that's why Jesus gave us His Word. So that while we are in this battle, we can be victorious. So that we can use this sword. So that we can go to our arsenal, our armory. We've got something to fight with. The most powerful, the most effective weapon in the world. The more we know it, the more we love it, the more we use it, the more success we will have. The more we will walk in victory. And I'm going to close with just one last scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Do your best." Not just, you know, casually think about it here and there, and maybe someday if you get the opportunity. "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the Word of truth." Let's pray. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this amazing, powerful Word that you've given us. Lord, there's nothing like it that we have. We can go to that Word anytime. We can store it up in our hearts. It becomes alive and living in us and through us. Lord, fill us with your Word. Give us a love for your Word. Help us to taste and see that it is good. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for this Word. Thank you that you didn't just leave us here with nothing, but that you gave us this powerful Word. And not only did you give us the Word, but you filled us with your Holy Spirit, who helps us, who teaches us, who enables us to use this Word effectively, powerfully, to overcome
to demolish, to destroy every argument, every pretension, to come against all the demonic realm, to come against our flesh, to come against the world system. Lord, thank you for this word that stands high, far above all of these things, like a gleaming tower, rising up into the clouds, far above all these battlegrounds, all these things that come against us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for becoming that living word, that we could see you, that we could know the reality of that word. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Well, we got coffee and donuts upstairs. We got a prayer up here. If you need prayer for anything, please come on up. Go hang out in the fellowship hall, have a donut, coffee. Thanks for coming out. Yes, there.